violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Walking Dead online viewing party. It's Sunday, February 17th, 2019. I'm host Casey Shapiro, coming to you on blogtalkradio.com via NDB Media. Tonight's show will contain spoilers up through the last episode and items from any current AMC official promo materials. Typically, we start our show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute, and we'll watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10, 1 being can this, 10 being amazing, and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. I'm going to check in the chat room real quick, and Joan has just joined us, one of our regulars we always appreciate. Let's give her a big hand for joining us. Joan has really become my right-hand person, helping out with research and other fun things. So, if you guys want to speak to the host, please feel free to call 914-338-0314 anytime tonight, but especially between 8:30 and 9 Eastern Standard Time if you can. If you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break or we can talk freely on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room, as Joan has just done, and you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as go back to the link and download the episode after the fact, and we post the links for that on Twitter and on Facebook, so feel free to share those. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go back to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes, and there's also a list pinned to the top of our Facebook page. So welcome to Season 9, Episode 10 of The Walking Dead. Tonight's episode is entitled Omega. Official AMC synopsis is, a captive or a refugee? A new arrival at the hilltop opens up about the leader of a group of mask-wearing savages. A search party sets out on a daring mission to find two missing friends. And as we usually do, after the official synopsis, we have some extended synopsis from various websites that I will bring to you guys. So I'm pulling that up for you now. And Joan does not really have anything to add other than she would not miss it, and we're so glad. So this first extended synopsis I have is from comicbook.com. It's by Brandon Davis, who frequently writes stuff about the show that we use on the air, so we're going to give him credit for his stuff. This was written this morning, and it's just Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 10, Omega. So he says, we're skipping past the first part because that's just the synopsis. I just got done reading to you. So he says, on the heels of Alpha's first appearance in the final moments of last week's mid-season 9 premiere, I don't know if y'all were paying attention to that, episode 9-10 will thoroughly explore the villain's origin story, offering several flashback sequences. Sunday Night's Hour will spend a large portion of its runtime in the past, explaining how Alpha and Lydia arrived at their barbaric lifestyles. Alpha is played by actress Samantha Morton. Though the actress has only been seen wearing a flesh mask, her pre-apocalyptic look and post-apocalyptic bald style will be on display in episode 9-10. Quote, I've been giving kudos to showrunner Angela Kang for a year for her impeccable casting choices, The Walking Dead executive producer Greg Nicotero told comicbook.com. Because I really feel like she's taking the show to a whole new level with her casting. And with Samantha showed up, man. She was literally like, this is a role of a lifetime to be able to play this character that is so nuanced and has such depth and such complexity to it. The episode will also focus the attempted rescue of Luke and Alden, who were both taken as Whisperer hostages when they crossed Alpha's path last week. Meanwhile, the questioning of her daughter, Lydia, will continue at the Hilltop, and Daryl is in need of answers regarding the latest threat to his communities and family of survivors. That is the end of that. Joan does not have further comments on that stuff, so I'm going to continue to the next one, which is from undeadwalking.com, and it's just entitled Breaking Down the Walking Dead 9B Synopsis, and that's actually referring to not just tonight, but the first couple of episodes and generally the back half of the season. But I thought it might be relevant to tonight because it does focus on last week and this week. So this is undeadwalking.com. The author is Sarah Beth Pollack, who is also a writer that we use a lot of material from. She writes regularly for them. And she says, the first part I'm going to skip because it was sort of written. It was written a month ago, so it's kind of in the past. You know, we don't need to talk about the past stuff. The last thing we saw during the mid-season finale was Aaron, Daryl, and Doc. Eugene, Michonne, Magna, and Yumiko surrounded by the Whispers in the dense fog. Jesus had just been killed by the Walkers, who can fight and talk, and the sense of dread was heavy in the air at the arrival of the new threat. The second half of Season 9 reveals the aftermath of that discovery and how the group decides to deal with it. here's a synopsis of 9B from the AMC Press email. This is not just a synopsis of tonight or last week. Quote, the second half of The Walking Dead Season 9 finds our groups of survivors, both old and new, continuing to deal with the impact of events that took place during the 6 years that have passed. Since the disappearance of Rick, many of these characters have become strangers to each other and in some ways strangers to themselves. What they do know is that they are in undeniable danger. They will soon realize the world just beyond does not operate as they thought. The group's rules and ways of survival no longer guarantee their safety. A whole new threat has crossed their paths, and they soon discover it's unlike any threat they've encountered or endured before. The group will start to question what they think they see. What may appear to be normal in this post-apocalyptic world could actually be more disturbing and terrifying than when the apocalypse first broke out. All that is certain is that the stakes are high and numerous. Da, da, da. One thing that jumps out of the synopsis is the idea of survivors being strangers to themselves. This is a huge revelation because fans have noted that since the time jump, that some characters seem a little off from how they were before. Obviously, 6 years is a long time and a lot happened, so something must have led to the changes in their behavior. Hopefully, we will learn more about the mysterious scars on Michonne and Daryl, and perhaps this will provide insight into the tension we're seeing now. The title of episode 9-9 is Adaptation, and 9-10 is Omega. Clearly, these titles are loaded with possibilities. Adaptation could refer to the people who have taken up walking with the dead as a means of survival, and Omega likely has a lot to do with the Whisperers themselves. We know there's an Alpha and a Beta. So who might Omega refer to? And the note in the article says, comics people, I know you probably know, but let's keep the surprise going for those fans who only watch the show. Thank you, Sarah Beth. That would be us. So that is the end of that article, and I'm going to pull up the next one. And after I do that, I'm going to check in the chat room and see if Joan has anything further to add before we proceed. And she did make a comment I'll share with you guys. She says, so hostages or dead? Luke and Alden. It was not clear when she pulled that shotgun that she was taking them hostage. I agree with you. I kind of got the impression that they did not give a clear answer whether they were taken or whether they were taken out. And I guess that's, you know, sort of a cliffhanger to make sure we come tonight. Joan also mentions, pardon me a moment. Apologies, I am still dealing with my cough that I've had for some time. Joan says, I agree that these Whisperers are even more terrifying than what our groups faced in the beginning of the apocalypse. Suddenly villainous humans and the dead are hard to distinguish and thus hard to fight effectively. Now, I do understand that point of view, And I know what they're getting at. But I have to tell you, after the scene in the covered bridge, I'm not entirely sure that I concur, because we know they're villainous humans, but they're walking among the dead to do bad things to other people. So I really don't see why we have any compunction about treating them as if they're just walkers and taking them out. And it would be easy to distinguish. Michonne and Daryl found exactly how to do that. Hit them somewhere that doesn't kill them, and the living ones will scream. And that's pretty easy. Now, I know at this point we're into season 9, and they've thrown all manner of villains at us, but given that the primary villains on here really aren't even the walkers anymore, they're kind of just part of the environment. So the primary villains are going to be other humans. And while there's a wide variety of humans and a wide variety of villains and things they can do, honestly, human as villain kind of has a sandbox that it has to play in. There's certain things that they cannot do. And so I think they're kind of starting to run out of a little bit of steam as far as coming up with new villains that are not just a variant of stuff they've done before. Now, that's totally my opinion. I could be talking out of my rear end. You know, it doesn't really mean that I know what I'm talking about. But that's kind of how I see it. They are terrifying in some ways, but if you stop and think about what we've learned about them, they can be overcome really easily, considering the group is not all that large. We just have to stop caring about who's in the skin and who's not. But I know that this story has already been written, so who knows if they will take my advice. But anyway, let me go to the third synopsis for you guys before we get too much further. This is from fanfest.com, and this was written on February 1st by Richard Allen. This is not a source we use every week, so this is a little different. Richard says, with The Walking Dead midseason premiere just 9 days away on February 10th, details have begun to emerge as to what fans should expect after the heart-wrenching episode ending to episode 9-8, as information on 9-9 and 9-10 have been released. Skipping down, episode 9-10 will be called Omega, which we know, and promises to quickly dive into the infamous Whisperer storyline from the comics. Apparently, this is somewhat true to the comics. I don't know how much, don't really care. When it is released on February 17th, official synopsis, which we're skipping. It may be interesting to note that the synopsis seems to skirt around naming the new villains the Whisperers, although if that's intentional or not is yet to be seen. For comic fans, it will be interesting to watch the Whisperers arc unfold, as the setup is extremely different in the comics. Not mentioning this part because it's the comic version, which I'm skipping. Just TLDR, someone has a thing that they're going to do in the comic version, and they're going to have to switch that around now because they've changed things that make that scenario not possible. It seems like the Walking Dead fans are in for a wild ride when the season resumes next week, being now. And the rest of this is just wrapping up, you know, kind of bearing in mind that you hadn't seen last week yet, so it's not really all that important. So I'm going to skip that. And I'll check on Joan, see if she's got stuff to say. Nothing additional, so I'm going to go down to the writers and directors' profiles. And this is where it gets a little bit interesting. I've kind of fleshed out the profiles. Both people that are profiled tonight are people we've done before, and neither of them really got a nice, meaty bio. And so I was adding to that, and I discovered some fun things I'm going to share with you guys now. So tonight's episode is directed by David Boyd and written by Channing Powell. So, David Boyd, and apologies for the length of his bio. In the past, we had almost nothing on him in prior episodes, so I just wanted to give him his due. So, David Russell Boyd, ASC, is an American cinematographer and director of television and film, best known for his role as director of photography for the Fox television series Firefly and the AMC series The Walking Dead. Member of the American Society of Cinematographers, which is what the ASC and his name stands for, since 2006. Boyd was born in Cripple Creek, Colorado, to a military father, and spent his early childhood in Paris, France. He was inspired to become a cinematographer after stumbling onto the set of Is Paris Burning, where he was spontaneously recruited by the crew to drag cables for camera and lighting equipment. While attending the University of California, San Diego, as physics major, he took an elective film-watching class called Thursday Night at the Movies. The class was taught by Jean-Luc Garand, who was a veteran of the French New Wave and colleague of Jean-Luc Godard. Garand inspired Boyd to drop his physics major and attend the UCLA Film School to become a cinematographer and director. Boyd is the former first husband of horror actress Barbara Crampton of Reanimator, From Beyond, and other works. He is currently married to Lisa Roden, an actress and crew member in smaller projects up until the early 2000s. Boyd has been assistant director and producer for a couple of smaller projects, camera operator for almost 60 projects, including many B-movies or horror classics such as Trancers, Ghoulies, From Beyond with his first wife Barbara, Return of the Living Dead 2, The Flash, the new TV series, NYPD Blue, Beverly Hills Cop 3, 1995's Truman Movie with Gary Sinise, TV show Murder One, movie Kiss the Girls, Galaxy Quest, and other projects up through about 2009. Boyd's first cinematography project was with, oh God, I hope I pronounced this right because I had my friend help me with this, Samtow Papinian Sukariku, who is known in the film industry as S.P. Samtow, which is a permutation of his actual name. He did a movie called The Laughing Dead in 1990, and Boyd also did cinematography after that for Deadwood, Without a Trace, Sons of Anarchy, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., among others. Boyd has been both cinematographer and director of photography, as well as a director for The Walking Dead. He was cinematographer for 9 episodes from Guts, Season 1, Episode 2 in 2010, to Cherokee Rose, Season 2, Episode 4 in 2011. He was then director for 9 episodes from Secrets, Season 2, Episode 6, 2011, and up to tonight's episode. I'm going to check in real quick and see if Joan's got anything else to say. Nothing quite yet. So I will continue to the next part, Channing Powell. So Elizabeth Channing Powell is from Easton, Maryland. So she is a pseudo-DC local girl. And her husband is from McLean, Virginia. Powell graduated from Williams College with a bachelor's degree in film production. She's been married to Jonathan Edwards Silverow since October of 2010. She got her start in the industry as an assistant in the television series White Collar. While she was there, she made her way up the ranks until she was staffed as a writer and eventually gained credits as an executive story editor. Powell has been a co-producer, producer, co-executive producer, or consulting producer for 89 episodes of The Walking Dead so far, starting with Season 4, Episode 1, 30 Days Without an Accident in 2013, up to last week's episode, Season 9, Episode 9, Adaptation, and I suspect she will later have credits for tonight as well. Channing Powell has written 17 Walking Dead episodes, also starting with Season 4, Episode 1, 30 Days Without an Accident, up to tonight's episode, Season 9, Episode 10, Omega. She last worked together with tonight's director, David Boyd, on the episode The Lost and the Plunderers, Season 8, Episode 10. I'm going to check with Joan. Nothing to add. I'm going to actually refresh my window to make sure that she hasn't added anything, and maybe my flash is just misbehaving because we know every couple weeks I have to fuss about the format because it is truly ancient. And sometimes I miss comments. Okay, so I have refreshed and there's nothing further. So let's go to trivia. It's 8:49, so we've got 10 minutes. I will try to get in what I can and do the rest in between commercials. So trivia time. That's the 125th episode tonight. And this next part is actually an article that I want to read you guys. It was listed as trivia on wikia.com. But in looking around to see why they didn't have more details, I found this article. It's about an actress called Jaden Krause, J-A-D-Y-N-K-R-O-U-S-E. And the article is from the Medford Sun. And Medford is the town that I assume she lives in. And I'm not just going to nose around for 2 seconds to figure out where that was. And I'm not really clear where the Medford Sun is. I don't know where the town of Medford is. Joan, if you feel like doing a project, there you go. It was written by Melissa Riker back in September of 2018, I guess when this was announced. Jaden Krause has been cast as an extra and seems, quote, everyone is going to be talking about, and that means tonight. She's a young lady, Medford resident Jaden Krause is making a breakthrough in her acting career at the age of 13. Her mother, Nicole, stumbled upon a casting call from The Walking Dead that was posted to Facebook in July. And that was July 2018, obviously, because we haven't had July 2019 yet. After sending in Jaden's resume, they were notified that she had been cast as an extra for the ninth season, which starts airing on October 7th. And this is, you know, back in the other part of the season. Jaden, Nicole, and Jason Krause, Jaden's father, set out for the trip to Senoia, Georgia, where Jaden's first day on set was spent being fitted for her costume. The following day consisted of countless crew members passing by, doing touch-ups on her hair and makeup, and adjusting the lighting and props for the scenes she was a part of. Although Jaden cannot discuss any specifics from the scenes, she noted, quote, they're the scenes everyone is going to be talking about. This may be her first time being part of a television production. However, she's no stranger to the spotlight. Jaden's interest in performing dates back to when she was 7 years old, and her mother signed her up for voice lessons. She found an interest in musical theater and was soon cast in the role of Miss Hannigan in Annie at the Music Training Center in Marlton. She returned to the stage at Medford Panther Players at age 9 as Enid Hoops in Legally Blonde, and again the following year as LeFou in Beauty and the Beast. When reflecting on her past, Jaden noted that filming for television was incomparable to any of her previous acting experiences. Quote, it was totally 100% different from anything I've ever done before, Jaden said. A lot of things I've done have been for theater, so this was very intense, and I've never seen a crew that huge before. Her involvement in The Walking Dead is not only paving the way to achieving career goals, but personal goals as well. Last year, Jaden was diagnosed with Sherman's kyphosis, which Jaden described as a family member of scoliosis where her spine was curving forward. In November, she went under a 10-hour surgery where two titanium rods, 18 screws, and two hooks were put in her spine. Jaden stated that although the recovery process is ongoing, she now knows her limits on when she needs to take time to rest. Despite these physical challenges, Jaden had recovered enough to attend Stage Door Manor for a three-week summer training session in Catskill, New York, in this past July, where she was cast as the lead female role of Vita in Harvey. Next summer, and that means this coming summer, Jaden plans to return to Stage Door Manor, which is the place Natalie Portman, Zach Braff, Robert Downey Jr., and several other successful actors got their start. As far as the future, Jaden has hopes of attending New York University to study musical theater. As she stated, there's a possibility for her to one day be asked to return to the set of The Walking Dead. Quote, I'm so excited that she was given such an opportunity, a unique opportunity at such a young age, Jason said, and that was her dad. She's been through so much, and as a parent, the most important thing is her happiness. And that is the end of the article. It is 8:53. So let me check in the chat room real quick. Joan has some comments. Ah, she has looked this up for me. Medford, New Jersey. Head offices for the Medford Sun are located in Cherry Hill. Okay, so that is a New Jersey story. Thank you very much for looking that up. So let's continue on the trivia for as much time as we got. Uncredited actors this week. Duffy Hale as a Hilltop resident. All three of these Hilltop residents. Duffy Hale, Warren Frank, and Quande Stewart. And I hope I pronounced that right. I try. There are two deaths mentioned ahead of time. Two horses in the story tonight. I'm sure no actual horses were hurt in the filming of this whatever. Trivia. First appearance of the character of Frank, who is Alpha's husband and Lydia's father. It has already been mentioned and outed that a large chunk of tonight's plot is going to be a flashback about the history of the Whisperers. So the rest of these characters are not identified, but I am assuming all of it is a giant part of the Whisperers' history in some form. First appearance of Rose, unknown plot played by Carolyn Arapoglou. Arapoglou. First appearance of Cyrus, unknown plot played by Quinn Boza. First appearance of Matias, unknown plot played by Javier Carrasquillo. First appearance of Amanda, unknown plot played by Ashlyn Stallings. Trivia for last episode, 8:55. I'll try to get through this. Last appearance of the Sanctuary as a location. The title of the episode, Adaptation, comes from Lydia claiming her mother's belief that they have to adapt to the world by wearing the Walker skin. It also refers to Negan having to adapt to the outside world after being imprisoned for several years. Rosita reveals to Sadiq, with Eugene listening in secret, that she is pregnant with Sadiq's baby, having had a relationship with Sadiq before she got with Gabriel. The spot in the woods where Negan visits and kneels down. And by the way, this was mentioned on The Talking Dead, and I had forgotten, but somebody picked it up and put it in the trivia box. It is the same area of the woods where Glenn and Abraham were brutally executed in the episodes Last Day on Earth and The Day Will Come When You Won't Be. The Whisperer's disguises are not foolproof like the trick with the Walker guts. When Daryl shoots one in the leg, he screams, break his disguise, and the real Walkers turn on him, like has happened when someone covered in Walker guts draws attention to themselves. The sanctuary, which was previously stated to have gone bust in the episode Who Are You Now, is shown to be completely abandoned, aside from Richie and the five zombified saviors. The courtyard is now covered in weeds with empty boxes, still standing where the residents had tried to grow crops. The main room is littered with scattered pieces of furniture, mostly overturned, and has pools of standing water. Though he doesn't appear, Earl Sutton is briefly mentioned by Daryl, who tells Henry that Earl has ordered that Henry must finish out his two-night sentence for his conduct before Henry can be released. Deaths from last episode. Richie, alive, confirmed fate, zombified. This is Big Richie that Negan was talking to at Sanctuary. By the way, on Talking Dead's In Memoriam afterwards, Richie did not get his own separate listing and was instead billed as part of the No More Sanctuary Walkers. Five unnamed saviors, the other five that were wandering in the courtyard, at least six unnamed whisperers, and at least one unnamed dog off screen. That was from probably when Negan was leather coat shopping. The goofs and errors from last week are not mentioned. It's 8:57. I'm going to start the birthdays, but I'm not going to be able to get through all of it because I have some for this week. But I also last week did not do birthdays for the people that I don't really have birthdays for, mostly dates. But let's do February's birthdays coming up this week. Jane Atkinson, who plays Georgie, her birthday is tomorrow, and she's from Bournemouth, Dorset, England. Logan Miller, who played Benjamin from The Kingdom, also February 18th baby. He's from Englewood, Colorado. And Michael Jonathan Mike Zegan, who played Randall Culver, Season 2, Episode 9, Survivors. His birthday will be February 20th, and he is from Ridgewood, New Jersey. So let's give some applause for all the birthday babies. And since it is 8:50 night, I'm not going to go into the rest of the list until one of the breaks. So I've got several people here that I want to give a shout-out to who I don't have actual birthdays for. I find that kind of strange, but I'm not sure what's up with that, why they would hide those things. Anyhow, we are about ready to go, and I'm kind of watching the very tail end. Oh, when the expedition gets nabbed by the whisperers. So that's going on. You know what? I'll tell you what. While we're waiting, I'm going to start on the birthday list and just keep an eye out for when it flips over so I don't go over time. So birthday shout out to Aaron Munoz, who played Tony, Season 2, Episode 8, Nebraska Bar Scene. I have no date or place. Adrian Callie Turner played Dwayne, who was Morgan's son. He was born in 97, but I have no date, Atlanta, Georgia. Airlie Austin, who played Isabel, Michonne's driver in Season 7, no date, no place. Alex Van Lerberg, Alex Van in credits in the show, he played the Hermit in Season 3, Episode 7, no date, no place. Amber Chaney, who was Annette Green, Beth's mom and Herschel's second wife, in Fridge Picks and as a barn walker. No date, Atlanta, Georgia. Amy Kane, mother number two, Season 2, Episode 2, Bloodletting, no death, no date, no birthplace. We are about to go to the new episode, so I'm going to break here, and I'll pick it up at the first commercial break. See you guys shortly. It is 9:05, and we're already at the first commercial break. We're going to go ahead and get our scores up. I'm starting off at a 5-5. Joan is at 6. We just started with a flashback. We dove right into the story about the whisperers. And apparently Lydia's dad. Oh, I know I saw that character earlier. Frank, yes. In the flashback. So Joan has also mentioned in the chat room, watching this woman who will become alpha with her husband and daughter, I'm seeing parallels to Carol's journey from meek mother to the woman she is now, and I agree with that. And the daughter has said, you know, she's a lot like your mom when Henry is mentioning, and who he's referring to is Carol. And Joan says, see, even Lydia sees it, and she's never even met Carol. And then Joan is voting with a 6. It is 9:06, so I'm going to go back to the birthday list and see how much of that I can knock out before we go back. So, again, this is a list of people I want to acknowledge who have worked on the show, but I don't have birthday information for. Next is Danielle Virgio Merrill, who was Judy in the Walking Dead webisodes, Torn Apart. She's from Greensboro, North Carolina. She was also Trinity's fight double in The Matrix. No idea of her age, but the first IMDb was The Cosby Show in 1990, so that may give you context. Deborah May, who plays Natanya in Oceanside. She was born in 1970 in Remington, Indiana. Don't have a birthday for her. Eric Jensen, who was Stephen Edwards, the Atlanta doctor at Grady Hospital, born about 1975 in Minnesota. James Tate Ellington, who played Alex Terminus, Gareth's brother, Mary's son. No date, born 1979, Madison, Michigan. Jason Douglas, who was Tobin in Alexandria. No date, no place. Jason Graham, who played William. To be announced character, he's listed on the cast with a birthday. No, not exactly a birthday. He's a character that will appear next week in episode 11, so I have no idea exactly what William is. The actor was born in 74 in New York City. We have Steven Yeun is going to be on Norman Reedus's ride next week, which means they're probably going back to the show. Yes. So I'll be quiet. I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, it's 9:16, and we're just at break number 2. I'm going to creep up to 5:75. Joan is staying with her 6. At the end of the last break, or beginning of the next part, was the horses we were talking about, Alden and Luke's horses, sacrificed to leave a message. Yeah, because the horses, as they noted, were actually put down by knives, by human work, and left to keep the walkers doing something. And they had to go through and figure out if anything that was kneeling and eating at the horses was actually a whisperer pretending to be something. But turns out they weren't. So that all was going on. And Henry, of course, now has just blown a bunch of information to Lydia and not sat and thought about, well, now Daryl has to kill her. I laugh, but you never know with this show. So anyway, let me go back to the birthday list. It's 9:17. I'll see what I can squeeze in. So after Jason Graham, we have Jason Warner Smith, who played Gavin, a Savior Lieutenant. No date listed. Likely birthplace is Cobb County, Georgia, near Atlanta. Jill Jane Clements, who played Molly, one of the Saviors, no date, no place. John Eyes, E-Y-E-Z, otherwise known as John C. Thomas, who played Potter, a Savior worker. No date, no place, but born in the USA. Julio Cesar Cedillo, who played Wells, Season 3 National Guard, born in 1970 in Durango, Mexico. Justin Miles, who played Barnes in Alexandria, no date, no place. Karen Renee Mulden, who played Karen Cize, her stage name is Karen Cize, pardon. She was Birdie at the Hilltop, no date, no place. Kenrick Green, who played Scott in Alexandria, no date, no place. He is Sonequa Martin Green's husband. Carrie Jane Cahill, who is Diane, a Kingdom soldier, No date, born in Helena, Montana. Lane Miller, who is Riley, a savior that Rick kills in the bar in the episode Still Gotta Mean Something. He is uncredited on that episode. No date, possibly born in Lawrenceville, Georgia, assumed to be in his 30s. And next is Lillian or Lily Birdsell, who's Hannah in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart. She's the bicycle girl walker. No date, no place. Nicole Barre, who's Kathy from Oceanside. No date, born in New Orleans, Louisiana. Noel Albert Guglielmi, who is Philippe in Vatos, season one. No date, 1970, Santa Monica, California. Stephen Coulter, Reg Monroe, Alexandria. No date, but born in 1960. No place. Whitmer Thomas, who is Gunther, savior with glasses. No date, born in Gulf Shores, Alabama. And that is all the people who don't have actual birthdays on the list. We just wanted to give them the cookies we can. And we're in a CarMax commercial, so I'll continue. Featured music from last episode. The Whisperer's theme by Bear McCreary, who wrote the original theme for this show. And then The Leather Jacket by Bear McCreary, which is the music playing when Negan rummages through an abandoned clothing store and finds himself a black leather jacket. I have the unaccounted for characters, Stell, Heath, Sherry and Dwight, Rick and Jadis, Maggie, Oceanside, and Morgan. I'm not going to read through the commentary on that again. If anything changes, we can do that again. Real quick, Talking Dead tonight. Guests joining Chris Hardwick are Eleanor Matsura, who plays Yumiko, Nadia Hilker, who plays Magna, and Gail Ann Hurt. And let's see, fighting with my family on Friday, that means we may be going back in a second. I have the list of the back half of season 9 that we haven't covered yet, but now we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number 3. Okay, 9:26. Break number 3, getting the scores up. I'm at 5. No, I'm not. I'm at 6. Jones creeping up to 625. I will read you the comments in between the last vote. She says, I get teenage hormones and all, but I would have expected more brains from Henry given his background and experiences. I agree with you. And I get that they're portraying that, you know, he's not fully an adult and he still makes dumb choices, but this just doesn't seem like the kind of dumb choice he would make. Joan says, I mean, this was the kid who was fierce enough to try killing the savior who killed his older brother. Not exactly the trusting type. And Joan says, I really like the new group with Magna and company. I hope they stick around and don't die for a while. I hope so too. Although this decision they just made is super stupid, but we will see how that all works out. So it's 9:27. I've completed the birthdays. I was going to read you guys the back half of the episodes for season 9. So next week will be episode 11 called Bounty. Don't have a writer yet. Director is Mira Menon. That's February 24th. Episode 12, following week, Guardians. No writer. Director will be Greg Nicotero, March 3rd. Episode 13, Choke Point. No writer. Director is Liesl Tommy, March 10th. And then episode 14, Scars, no writer, director is Millicent Shelton, March 17th, Aaron Gobrales. episode 15, The Calm Before, no writer, no director not listed, so I guess it's some kind of fun surprise. That's 24th. And then the 16th is The Storm, you know, Calm Before the Storm. That will be the season finale. Writer is Angela Kang, who's the showrunner, and director is Greg Nicotero. That's March 31st. We do not have a start date yet for Fear Season 5, but currently just assume it's mid-April sometime, as been tradition in the past. Season 4 ran April through May and August to September last year. Advertisement for Whiskey Cavalier, where Lauren Cohen is hanging out. Quick Fear Season 5 discussion, since season 5 of Fear is coming up. I'm going to pull the link up for that. I don't know if I'll be able to get to it before we go back. But I have a couple quick comments leading into this article from TVGuide.com. And trivia, Daniel Sharman and Ruben Blades are set to reprise their roles as Troy Otto and Daniel Salazar, each in an unknown capacity. I don't know how the hell Troy is going to work because he died, but we'll see. Dwight Austin Emilio has been confirmed to be the second crossover character coming from The Walking Dead. Don't know the circumstances yet, but I'm sure it has to do with the fact that Sherry and Dwight are both still missing. So we'll find out more about that. I do have the article pulled up for that, but I don't know if we are going to be able to get to that. It was written February 9th by Christopher Rosen for TVGuide.com. And I'm going to see if I can pull this up real quick. I don't know how much I'm going to get into it. And I'm also having pop-ups issues. Okay, we are at a Geico commercial. Let me see if we're going to go back. Okay, we're at another commercial, so I can read this a bit. The Walking Dead fans haven't seen Dwight, Austin Emilio, since the end of Season 8 when the former savior was forced to leave Alexandria by Daryl, but Dwight is finally ready to return to the franchise on Fear the Walking Dead. On Saturday, AMC released the first photos from Season 5 of the Walking Dead spinoff series featuring a fresh look at Dwight. This is the second time a Walking Dead stalwart has found his way to Fear the Walking Dead. Last season, Lenny James's Morgan became part of the show, joining series stars Coleman Domingo, Garrett Delahunt, Denai Garcia, Jenna Elfman, Alicia Debnam Carey, Alexa Nisenson, Maggie Grace, Mo Collins, and Daryl Mitchell. And no, we're not back. But we probably will be in a minute. I've been just talking about it does not have a premiere date, but we know that. And we're not back. Into the Badlands keeps teasing me, but I think we're going to be back in a hot second. And we are. I'll shut up, see you guys at break number 4, and I'll finish this article for you. Okay, guys, 9:38. We're at break number 4. Joan's still at 625, and I'm still at 6. So here's our commentary from the last time. Joan has said that she agreed with my comment about the father making a stupid decision. Not that one, the one with Magna and her group. But I can understand wanting to stay together and take care of their own, true. And certainly the hero groups and whatever have gone and done foolish things in search of looking for a compatriot before. This is certainly not something they haven't done themselves. Okay, yeah, Joan, I'm not sure what's going on with the sound, but hopefully it's all rectified now. So she said, yeah, they don't know Tara well enough yet, and Luke is like family. And I found it interesting that last scene, their father made such a big deal about shaving his beard off, and then they had it back. So I don't know how the timing works for that, or maybe he shaved it off and then just didn't keep after it, because they were there, you know, another 20 days after he shaved. So, yeah, I don't think he just keeps after it every morning the way one would have in the past. And so much for Frank. Yep, the guy just up and bit him. So there goes the dad, and so forth. All right, let me see where I am in my notes that I'm sharing with you guys. I had an article on Fear that I wanted to read to you because Fear is coming up. I was just talking about not hanging with a premiere date. Let's see. At the end of this article, they do announce something. We talked about this last week. It is not a secret. Denai Guerrero, who plays Michonne, is talking about leaving the Walking Dead flagship after briefly appearing in a few Season 10 episodes. She is expected to appear in Walking Dead movies, somehow connected to departing lead actor Andrew Lincoln. But they haven't really said how all that will work out yet. And that's fine. You know, it's good to know that we might still have an opportunity to see them doing stuff. So those are notes on Fear. And then I have discussion topics. One was an older one, Thomas Paine discussing Jesus leaving. And let's see what I've got here for the rest of this. Oh, we have Day in the Life, Our World. I'm actually playing that game that you guys are doing. It is kind of like Ingress for The Walking Dead. And, you know, it's all right. You go out. It's one of these augmented reality games. So you go out in the world and play it. So we have a trailer for another TV show. And this looks familiar as hell, but I can't place it. Netflix original series. Not sure what this is. They'll tell us in a hot second. And then I think after that happens, we're going to go back to the live show. This is super weird and surreal. It's kind of like a goth cyberpunk version of Inception. It's kind of bizarre. Oh, the Umbrella Academy. I didn't really get that, but it may be something I'm interested in. And we have a Reese's commercial. Okay, so we're still on commercials. I really don't know which of these articles might be good to pull up for you guys. We've only got about 15 minutes left, so not really sure any of them, to be honest. But let me see. What I might do is just go with the old ones I have and pull them up, and if we have time, we have time. Let me see. There's a girl and drinking milk and milk, love what's real. Okay, whatever. And then a record commercial. I don't know if that's still milk or not. There's a lot of guitars and music, and I don't see any milk. So I'm not sure what that is. This is back in November, and it's Tom Payne on Jesus exiting, and we know that that didn't really sit well with him. But I don't think we really got to talk about that back in the, you know, November, the end of the mid-season finale. We didn't really talk. But okay, so we're back. I'll shut up. See you guys at break number 5. Maybe we can talk about it. Hey, guys. 9:53 or break number 5. And Joan is sticking with her 625. I'm creeping up to meet her. She has said, okay, splitting it up after leaving Hilltop, just up the stupid factor in the stratosphere. I agree with you. Unless Henry is acting on Daryl's orders to let Lydia out, he's an idiot. I actually, you know, Daryl did say I'm not the only one or not just me. So I kind of think it may have been planned. Because Daryl's sitting there in the background and he's not screaming about Henry having let her out. I think it was a way of seeing, I think it was a test of some sort. So let me go back to the article. November 25th, Walking Dead star gets candid about his exit. It was constant frustration. This is from HollywoodReporter.com. And trying to see, the author is Josh Wigler. And he says, quote, I spent a long time hoping my character was going to have more to do. The outgoing series regular tells The Hollywood Reporter about the reason behind the shocking mid-season finale death. And this is obviously Tom Payne talking. But Walking Dead comic book readers and show only viewers alike, Sunday's mid-season finale ended with a massive shock. The death of Jesus, actor Tom Payne, a fan favorite figure who remains, we're not going to say that part. That's a comic reference. Jesus' season 9 death came at the hands of the Whisperers, the newest enemies in the AMC zombie universe, who wear refurbished skin suits in order to blend in with the dead. Comic reference, which I am not saying. Blah, blah, blah. AMC does something completely different with the character than they do in the comic. And Jesus' fatal encounter stands out as one of the biggest changes from the comics to date, if not quite as big as the departure of Rick and Maggie. Comment about the comics that we're deleting. Given his character's untimely demise, one can imagine series regulars' pain, sadness over walking away from The Walking Dead. However, it would be nothing more than that, an imagined interpretation of events far away from the reality of Payne's current existence. In a candid conversation with The Hollywood Reporter, Payne, who has been with the series since season 6 and a regular since season 7, says he was happy to leave the series following years of frustration over the direction of his character. In the comics, leaving that out, something the show neglected that is different that he would have rather had. The character's final stand in Payne's mind was much closer to his vision for Jesus all along, making the note he's more than happy to go out on. Quote, I know people will be disappointed and shocked, he tells The Hollywood Reporter with a smile in his voice, but I'm happy. How did Payne's Walking Dead exit come together? What are some of the biggest missed opportunities for the character along the way from his perspective? Ahead, Payne enthusiastically weighs in on all of that and more, including the romance with Aaron, played by Ross Marquand, and that never was, what it was like filming his final episode with Norman Reedus and Josh McDermott, and more. I'm going to scroll down here and see. It's not going to be too long before we go back to wrap this up, so I have to keep an eye on the TV. So, first question from Hollywood Reporter, how are you feeling with The Secret now out in the open? quote, "I'm excited for everyone to see it. I just want to be part of telling a good story that shocks people. That's what the show has been about for me. When they came to me with the idea, I said, as long as it's a really cool moment, let's do it. I know a lot of people are going to be bummed out about it, but I've been bummed for the last 2 years that the character hasn't gotten as much cool stuff on the show as he had in the comic books. It gave me a really cool ending, and I'm happy with that." Question number two. I'm seeing if the T-Mobile is... Okay, yes. Another commercial. "Was it your choice to leave The Walking Dead, or was this a decision from the writers?" Quote, "They were aware I wouldn't be unhappy if they got rid of me. I expressed unhappiness last season. I was very frustrated with what the character has been doing. He arrived in a really cool way, and then he floundered at the hilltop. During the war with the Saviors, the only person he had a fight with was a man who was on his side, is Lenny James's Morgan." In the comics reference, I'm not going to read you. "He's the most capable member of the entire group, and he wasn't used at all on the show. In the background, I was training every single week. I was ready and raring to go. You can't help but feel a little despondent when you're not released to do some cool stuff." Ride with Norman Reedus, so we may be going back, and we are. And I will come back to this at the end. Okay, guys, it's 10:07. That is the end of the show. I'm ending on 6:05, as is Joan. So Jonah said, well, at least previews show Alden and Luke still alive for now, so we know that. I had a feeling there was going to be some kind of trade thing going on, but we shall see what goes on. I think one of the things that's interesting is I have not quite been able to tell what part is bluffing and what part is not. It's already clear that Lydia is good at bluffing, and you can kind of tell that some of it's true and it's a blended thing. Jonah said, "I'm not overly familiar with the comics, but as far as she understand, they are using the major plot points of the Whisperer storyline, but with different characters and many twists. They've done that with quite a few things that are out of the comics, so that's fine and well, and I really have no attachment to it being like the comics. I really don't require that." So anyway, we are ending on that, and we will see you guys next week for The Bounty, or just Bounty, which is episode 11, and that will be on February 24th. So she said they would have to do it differently in the comics since they have diverged widely at this point. Yes, I am aware that there are huge and irreparable deviancies from the comic version of this whole scenario, and they've been doing that for 9 seasons, to be honest, so I really don't have a problem trying to parse any of that, partly because I stay away from the comics, so I'm not attached to it, but I also recognize that different mediums parse differently, so, you know, that's fine with me. But at any rate, that wraps the show for this week, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you, as always, Joan, and you guys take care, and see you next Sunday.